Well, good morning and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893. Or you can email or text at prayer@yeshome.com. However you get them to us, though, let us know what needs you have today so we can pray for you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893, or online, or email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. We simply want to pray for you. So if it's something personal, or realize if you got struggling in your marriage and stuff, you don't necessarily want that broadcast on the radio, but that's fine. Don't worry. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in with your prayer requests. We just want to pray for you today. So don't miss out on that prayer because of that. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can have to come together before you, to lift up one another and to lift each other up before the Lord, to know that you are there to listen, to hear, that you care about us. You care about what's happening. You care about our lives. That these struggles and trials that we go through matter to you. And Lord, we pray that you will help us this day to trust in you. Lord, help us this day to put our faith into you. That each one who calls in with this prayer request will call in expecting that you are going to answer, knowing that you are going to answer because you are good and faithful, and that you love to do good things for your children. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We celebrate you today because you are a good and awesome God. We pray that you would get all the glory, that you would be exalted, you would be lifted up, you would be glorified in our lives as you work and move in us. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And once again, is before we get into our prayer requests, also like to get into the Word of God. And we've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this great chapter on love. It comes right after Paul's teaching about the gifts. And so in chapter 12, he's teaching us all about the gifts and how to use them. And then in 13, he says, kind of undergirding all that, says, but here's the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongue of angels and have the gifts of prophecy and fathom all mysteries, all this, but have not love, I'm nothing. Basically saying, you can have all these gifts and exercise all these gifts, but you're not exercising them in love. It doesn't mean anything. Love has to be the motivating force for all that we do. But then Paul goes on, because lots of people say that. That's a common refrain. We hear that all over the place in our culture. Let's love each other. Let's just love one another. But then Paul goes on to define what he means by love. He doesn't just give a kind of a generic, let's love one another, have gooey feelings about each other. He goes on to tell us what love is. And the remarkable thing about it is it's all about what we're required to do. That love puts requirements on us. It's not about love makes you feel good. Love fills your heart. Love, makes you complete. He doesn't say any of that stuff. None of that Hallmark nonsense. Instead, he says, this is how you behave. This is how you act. These are your attitudes when you are a person of love. And we've looked at the first few of these. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. We've looked at those first few, and we'll look at some more today. So let's go back. We're going to start with the very end of just chapter 12, just to kind of give us some context. Paul says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And we'll stop there. So we looked at those first few qualities of love. So today we're going to pick up where in verse 5, where it tells us that love is not rude. And you think about this. One, there's a lot of rudeness in our culture. But when my kids were a little younger, although the younger ones still enjoy them. Adventures in Odyssey. I don't know if you ever heard those. They're from Focus on the Family. And it's about this little town of Odyssey and all the characters that are there and the adventures that they have. And it's a fun little funny show and always has a spiritual message. And one of theirs was about manners one time. And it was about these two boys who were exhibiting bad manners. And so, the one guy who owns the ice cream shop in town, Whit, His name's Whit. He's kind of the central character in the whole thing. And he is encouraging them to have good manners and telling them he's going to reward them if they do. And so they, you know, they take on the manners. They become the manners police, you know, start buzzing everybody if they have bad manners. So Whit has to take him into his office and tell them, hey, you know, this, you're missing the point here. And he says, oh, I thought it was really good. It was really profound. A great lesson for young people. A great lesson for all of us. He said, you know, the point of manners is not to show how polite we are, but to show respect to other people. When Paul says that love is not rude, it means love respects other people. When I show manners to someone else, I am showing that I have respect for them. I'm showing that they are a person who bears the image of God. I'm showing that they are a person who is of value and worth, that they're deserving of consideration. When you think about that, manners aren't about, you know, just looking good for us, but rather about showing respect for others. Showing that we recognize the inherent worth and value of another person. When we're polite to other people, when we are, you know, hold the door open for someone, help someone out, what we do is we show that we see the value in that person. We see the worth in that person. We see the dignity in that person. And that value and that worth and that dignity is deserving of our good behavior and our recognition and our respect. Everyone bears the image of God. When we treat people in a polite and kind manner, we are acknowledging the image of God in them. And I don't care how marred that image is. It's still there. We never lose the image of God. We can mar it with sin. We can mess it up. We can smear mud all over it. It's still there. So when Paul says that love is not rude, it doesn't just mean that it's, you know, a kind of empty politeness, but rather a politeness that recognizes the value and worth of every individual as someone created in the image of God. And that we have an obligation as children of God to honor that image in others. So love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And this really kind of undergirds everything that he talks about love here. That it's not about us. It's not about what I get from it. It's about what I give. And that might be the most radical change in Paul's understanding, or radical difference in Paul's understanding of love versus the world's understanding of love. Because the world's understanding of love tends to be focused on what I get out of it. I like this person. They make me feel good. I feel good when I'm around them. I connect with them. Therefore, I want them to be around me. Paul says that's not love, because love is not self-seeking. Love is not about me. Now, all those things may be true, but that shouldn't be my motivating factor to say that I love them. Because our love is not about us. It's about them. Our love doesn't seek for ourselves, but it seeks for others. That's what God did for us. When Jesus came and died for us, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, Christ came and died for us. We weren't filling God with warm, fuzzy feelings. We were storing up wrath, deserving of his judgment. But because God is a God of love and therefore not self-seeking even in himself, he sent his son to die for us. God didn't gain anything from that. We did. We're the ones who benefit from that. And yes, I mean, God does exhibit and show his glory in that, and the glory of his mercy and grace. But it's not a self-seeking thing. It was for us. God's glory would not have been diminished if he had simply exercised his judgment. He still would have been God. It would not have diminished him in any way, because he was right to do so. He had every reason to do so. But because he's a God of love, and that is his character and nature, he is not self-seeking. He gave himself for us, even though we didn't deserve it, and we weren't doing anything nice for him. And God says, this is how you love. Don't worry about what you're getting out. Don't worry about what they're doing to you. You love them. Because love is not self-seeking. And because it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. Why do we get angry? Well, usually we get angry because we're not getting our way. Usually we get angry because something is frustrating my desires. I want to see A happen. A is not happening. And you're the reason A is not happening. Therefore, I'm angry at you. Or I want you to do B, action B. But you won't do action B, and now my will is being frustrated, and now I'm getting angry. And usually that's where anger comes from. Somehow, some way, we're not getting what we want. We're not being satisfied. We're not being, you know, seeing our will accomplished. And so we get angry. Why do we get angry at our kids? Because they're not behaving themselves. They're not acting the way we want them to act. Why do we get angry with our parents? Because they're not acting the way we want them to act. They're being unreasonable. Why do we get angry with a friend? Maybe they've done something or harmed us in some way or just not behaving like we want them to. And more often than not, that's why we're getting angry. Now, there's a righteous anger. I know that. But let's be honest. Most of our anger isn't righteous anger. You know, most of our anger is not, you know, over human trafficking or, you know, sinful exploitation of people or injustice in the world. Day to day, in the mundane trenches of our lives, most of our anger is because we're not getting our way. But if love is not self-seeking, if love is not about me getting my way, then love is not going to be easily angered. Now, notice it doesn't say that love is never angered. There is a time for anger, and there's a way to be angry without sinning. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. God has given us anger as an emotion for a reason and a purpose. It serves a purpose, but it must be controlled, and it must be expressed within the parameters that God has designed, or it can become very destructive. So we're not saying that love never gets angry. We saw Jesus get angry. Remember, Jesus got angry in the temple because they were turning his father's house into a den of thieves. But it's interesting, when you look at the Bible, when God gets angry, when Jesus really gets angry, usually it's because someone is insulting the Father. When they were insulting Jesus on the cross, he didn't get angry. When they were beating him and whipping him and killing him, he didn't get angry. When they were saying terrible things about him, he didn't get angry. When they were bad-mouthing him, he didn't get angry. He got angry when they kept the children from coming to him. That made him upset. He got angry when they turned his father's house into a den of thieves. That made him upset. Whenever the father was being maligned, he got angry. And he got angry when they kept the children from him. But he didn't get angry about himself. He got angry about other things. Things outside of himself. So while there's a place for anger, love doesn't mean that there's never anger. It's not a self-centered anger. It's not an anger rooted in, I'm not getting my way and I'm mad about it. And therefore, because of that, he says it's not easily angered. Because that's where most of our anger is. And if I stop being angry about those things, guess what? I'm not going to be an easily angered person. Because I'm not going to get upset just because I'm not getting my way. Let us walk in love. Let's show kindness and politeness and to others. A manner of showing respect for the image of God in them. Don't seek for our best interests, but seek for the interests of others. And do not become easily angered because our will isn't being done. Trust that God's will is being done. We'll come back with your prayer request, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. It is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Just one prayer request in today. Someone asked for a prayer for their brother who's recovering from a fractured skull. He fell while he was jogging, fractured his skull, and is healing. Thankfully, no surgery was necessary, but prayers for his full and complete recovery as it's a long, slow healing process. Lord, we do pray for this man as he's recovering from this injury. We thank you, Lord, that it was not worse than what it was, that there was no need for surgery. But Lord, we do pray for him as he's going through this long process of recovery that's very slow. Lord, we pray that you would heal him, that he would make a full and complete recovery. Lord, we pray for there's some loss of vision there and some other things going on. So Lord, we pray that that would all be returned to normal, that there will be no ongoing lasting effects from this, and that this man would make a complete and absolute total healing, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us on the Prayer Closet. Remember, there's folks here to pray with you Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'd be happy to pray with you anytime our offices are open. You can get your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. And if you ever need to talk to someone, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can go online to our website, yeshome.com, click on the chat now button, and get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. Thanks so much for joining us on the Prayer Closet.